Hello and welcome to Cyber Soundbite, the podcast that explores how best to protect yourself, your family and friends online. We'll also keep you updated on the latest cyber threats while taking a deeper dive into subjects such as social media use, the dark web and online gaming. I'm Ben Cook, and this time I'm talking to Sally, who works in defense equipment and support. Sally leads the supply chain risk team within DE&S Digital, making sure the MOD's supply chain partners deliver secure capabilities, systems, and service. I asked Sally to begin by explaining the basics of supply chain security.
So our supply chain is basically our network of suppliers which we contract with. So we have tier one suppliers which we work with directly, but the supply chain also includes all of their sub-suppliers that they also contract to below us. So in terms of supply chain security, it's making sure that where our information flows through that supply chain and is handled by different organisations, that we know that is being handled in the appropriate way to reduce anything such as cyber threat and that information getting out into the wrong hands. So it's obviously very important for us in defence because the potential of it getting out to, you know, threat actors is quite high, especially given our current global position. So we basically need to make sure that we are putting those controls in place to make sure that we are secure as the Ministry of Defence.
Right. Okay. So, I'm a former Royal Marine, and like lots of sailors, soldiers, and aviators across defence, I'm aware of, you know, the caterers, the kit suppliers, the technical support companies working with the military. But of course, the MOD is far bigger than just the military. So, just how extensive is this supply chain that supports the Ministry of Defence?
So speaking from the perspective of defence equipment and support, obviously we provide all the kit to the front lines. Our supply chains are extensive and they are moving parts, so they are continually changing, which obviously adds a big challenge to securing them because we need that visibility of who we are working with. We have lots of suppliers in there that, for example, are critical suppliers to us or single sourcing suppliers. So that could be something as small as a tiny component of, I don't know, a plane or a ship, and little things you don't necessarily think of that you think, if there is one supplier out there producing it, what would the impact be if that supplier potentially was compromised? So it is a huge supply chain we have, probably too big to even put into words. But it is continually growing, and I think that adds an additional challenge to us making sure that we know we are in a secure position.
Right. And you know, it's easy to sort of picture how organizations can mitigate the physical threats of working mm-hmm. with supply chains by, you know, checking paperwork, securing shipments, checking permits and passes. But what threats do you and your team consider when securing the more, I don't know, intangible aspects of the supply chain? Particularly now, I assume, almost all of this is done digitally.
Yeah, so our focus is primarily on our MOD identifiable information. So basically anything that is exchanged with those suppliers that can link back to us as MOD. So what we look at is how that information is flown through, how it's actually handled and exchanged. So, you know, are we using secure networks to make sure that isn't going to be compromised, and having sight of helping those suppliers understand what kind of information is being shared. So that can be classification levels. If it's something particularly sensitive, like personal data, you know, there can be things such as medical data which are shared, which obviously we need to make sure we are protecting. So we go through a series of controls to make sure that we are content with how that information is handled. So yeah, on our side, we are very focused on information exchange and making sure that we know where it is, who's seeing it, it's not getting out into the wrong hands.
As you've described, you know, there's lots of people involved in the supply chain, but how, you know, how exposed is it to threats, and, you know, what could happen in the instances that people don't follow the correct procedures, which, you know, could result in a breach?
Yeah, I mean, cyber threat, as we all know, is growing every single day. All new technologies are being developed as we speak. So we have to continually make sure that we are on top of our controls and what we're expecting them to do to make sure it is secure. I think in terms of a supply chain, we work with a lot of really big suppliers who are going to be top notch in terms of securing their information. It's where we start to delve down into those lower tiers, smaller suppliers that aren't necessarily sort of swept up in the same way, is where we need to worry about actually, are they aware of what they should be doing? Are they handling our information securely? Do they even know the threats to that information that they're handling? So I think in terms of that, the security part is those small suppliers that we want to make sure that we are protecting. You know, there's so many examples of things that have happened. I think the biggest one everybody knows is the one with the F-35 jet, where potentially plans were leaked, and then China have obviously produced a jet which is very similar. And I think everybody's aware of that. That kind of gives an example of how that can impact us as defence, and potentially damage our national security, obviously, as well as financial and reputational damage that we can get from that. So it's very important that we've got sight of what is happening within that space.
Okay, and how much control do you have over these smaller companies that you're working alongside? What is it that the Ministry of Defence can do to make sure that they're operating just as safely as these bigger companies that, as you say, are more swept up?
So we have something in place which is called our cybersecurity model. So we work alongside the process owners to help develop that. And one of the steps for that is actually that the controls we expect from our big suppliers get flown down the supply chain to those small suppliers. So there is a baseline of controls we expect them to meet. Now, I think it's quite important for us that if we identify there's an issue at a lower tier, also at a higher tier, that we will offer that support to them to help them move to the right space. I think sometimes suppliers can almost think that we're trying to catch them out, which we don't want them to think. We should be at that supportive element for them. It's in all of our interests to make sure that what they are doing is correct and that they are secure, because it's not just one company that will impact. It will flow all the way through the chain and it ultimately come back up to us at the top as defence.
And I mean, it's interesting you saying there just about, these smaller companies thinking that you're doing this to catch them out. And, I know from experience that you see a phishing email, you see these things come through, which no doubt are, the means that hackers will use and utilize in order to infiltrate systems within the supply chain. But, are you noticing a difference as to how serious people are starting to take cybersecurity?
I think people are starting to take it more seriously now because we are moving into such a digital world. I think it's almost reached a point where you have to take notice of it. You can't escape it anymore. It used to be a thing that I think a few people, select people, would worry about, and everyone else would kind of try and brush under the carpet and not think about it at all. We've kind of moved away from that space now. I think everything you're doing digitally on and online, you've always got that sort of cyber footprint there. And people are more aware of it now in their personal lives as well as in their working life. So I think people do take it a bit more seriously. I do think there is a big culture shift, which we still need to do a lot of work on, because I think the word cyber people find very scary. So I think that's why for me, that supportive element is the most important part of it. You know, we need to all work together to make sure that people can have got access to the knowledge they need if they're unsure, rather than just sort of panicking in the dark and then trying to forget about it and hoping for the best, which is the space we definitely don't want to be in.
Yeah, and I it's interesting what you say there just about, people hearing the word cyber and the images that that conjures, but it's also how ambiguous and broad it is. So I guess that comes down to a lack of education. So is it then, the MOD, is it then your responsibility to sort of educate these other companies and people that might not necessarily be as aware of the cyber threats that are out there that in comparison to MOD personnel?
Yeah, so I think for us, we actually did find through, we did a series of audit activity when we first stood up our team. So what that involved was us actually auditing internally, so our project teams and our suppliers as well. So that gave us a really good view of what the landscape was in terms of, is it a us problem or is it a them problem or is it a all of us problem? And I think the cultural piece really came out there in terms of people were unsure what they needed to do. They didn't feel like they had the knowledge required. So that's why my team have kind of moved into more of an educational space as well. So we've set up a series of training packages which are based on this cybersecurity model, which we use in MOD, to kind of be that supportive element for them. Because I think if there's something there that you're unsure of what you need to do, if you know the per someone to go to who will support you in that, that in itself is going to drive more compliance because people feel like they've got that holding hand to help them through something, rather, as I said before, them just kind of panic a little bit and not really do it at all. So, yeah, we do have that in place now and it's definitely helped. I would say probably more on our side of the fence than the supplier side, to be honest, because it does all start from us. We need to get it right at step one to make sure that our suppliers aren't failing. So, as I said before, that's why we all need to be working together, really.
I mean it's important, especially how sort of broad and expansive these networks within the supply chain can be. So I'm keen now to talk a bit about how it sounds doom and gloom, but how bad it can get. And I guess a case in example is the SolarWinds hack. So this was described by Wired as the boldest supply chain hack ever, and by Microsoft head Brad Smith as the largest and most sophisticated hack the world has ever seen. So, for those listening who haven't heard of it, the SolarWinds hack happened back in 2020 and affected between 18,000 and 300,000 SolarWinds customers and an estimated 100 companies across an expansive supply chain. So, Sally, in your opinion, what can we learn? What can we take away from a hack of this scale and magnitude?
I think of any hack of any scale, really, you know, we do have people within the organization who have the expertise to kind of look at what's happened, how that's impacted us. And then from there, we can look at what controls we have in place to make sure that we are learning from this experience, that this doesn't happen again. Where were the weaknesses? How did this actually happen? Was it that we didn't have some kind of protection in place that we should have done? Or is it a case of actually it's something wider than that and we should be looking at other ways to actually protect our information? So I think with any kind of hack, obviously big ones are very detrimental. But any of them, the main thing we should be doing post attack is actually looking at what happened, going backwards through that, and making sure we've got things in place to do better. And that is why, as kind of I said earlier, those controls that we have in place for us and our suppliers, we need to be constantly reviewing, making sure they're updated, making sure they reflect our current cyber state of play. Anything new that happens, you know, it might be a case of, oh, actually, we didn't see that gap. So now we need to plug that gap. If it's a case of actually we should have had the protection in place, but people weren't doing it, you then go back to the drawing board of, okay, is this a policy and process issue? Why is this not happening? So I think, you know, we all need to make sure, us and our suppliers, that if anything does happen, we learn from it. And I think that's why it's very important that suppliers are reporting their incidents to us, also near misses, things they've caught early, so that we can learn from it. Sometimes I think suppliers can worry about telling us that something has happened, but it's very, very important for us to then move forward in protecting ourselves in the appropriate way. If we don't know about it, we can't do anything about it. So ultimately, that is why we need to be working together to learn from things such as these big attacks.
And what sort of things, like SolarWinds, but also these other hacks of, smaller scale or as sort of serious. But what sort of things are we beginning to learn about the attackers and the threats that they pose?
So I think in terms of the types of attacks that are out there, obviously they're changing every day. We have a specific team within our area that deals with incidents and hacks. So we have sort of a few different teams that will work together on looking at industry breaches and attacks, and they will do sort of post care after that to help support them. Also, in terms of information being lost, there are more softer side of things that happen where, we can say people can be the weakness. So employees not following policy and process correctly, that can open the door for attacks as well. Things like you touched on earlier, things like phishing actually are probably quite successful. If you think of the amount of emails people get in, you just think, oh, what's this one? Click on the link. That's the easy way in, So I do think that's why that cultural piece is also really, really important. Things like the cyber confident work that happens in MAD really does get people thinking about actually, what is this email? I actually had one this morning, which I pinged into our IT ops department and said, can you just confirm this is okay? And I think that's what people need to start doing is if you are unsure, make sure you ask the question because you could then be opening the door to something much, much worse, if something gets into the system.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty important. Out of interest, the phishing email you received this morning, what did that look like?
I'm not entirely sure if it is yet, which is why I've pinged it on to check, but I always think better to check. It was basic. We've had a few actually, which are things to do with just a link saying, I don't know, someone's accessed your system, and you think, is this correct? Is it not correct? Something that will make you panic, essentially, is what they go for. If you think, oh no, this is, something's happened to my laptop or my account or someone's trying to access something, sometimes you just need to be wary about those things. And I think when you're on work mode as well, if it's to do with your work, you instantly think it's genuine and it's learning to stop jumping the gun and just think, actually, is this genuine? Because people will even know from in your personal life, you can get, emails, texts that do look very genuine now, and it is easy to fall into that trap. So I think it's just making sure that you are on alert to it and you do have that, you do think about it before you kind of throw yourself in there.
Yeah, and I guess you're aware of this, but for someone at the smaller end of the supply chain, if you'd like, receives an email like this, how easy is it for them, whatever that piece of malware is or the hack that, the attackers are trying to complete, for lack of a better phrase, but how easy is that then to sort of infiltrate the wider aspect of the supply chain and other organizations working within that?
Well, if you think of the link between our suppliers, it's kind of for anyone that's seen a supply chain graphic, it's basically like a huge spider's web. So you need to think about all those links between, especially nowadays where everything is shared quite digitally. There are those connections between the systems. So if you had it down on a piece of paper, you can see that chain. Ultimately, as I said earlier, they all come back to us at the top. So you need to think if what that smaller supplier does click on a link, potentially if we're all sharing information through these systems that are not completely secure, then it can come all the way back up to the top. It's very dependent on, making sure the protection is at those different layers, which is why all our suppliers need to do it, because at least then, it can potentially stop if one supplier has something more secure in place. But that risk is always there. And again, like you said, the smaller suppliers probably don't necessarily know as much. So it is making sure that we are that supportive element, but all the suppliers need to be involved in that as they flow that through their supply chain. So if they have a sub-supplier, it's really in their interest to make sure that supplier is handling all that information securely, because not only ultimately will it come back to us, but also them, it will, it can impact their systems, which then could impact their other contracts with other agencies, not necessarily us. So it is within everybody's interest to be doing this, and working in the same together in the same way.
So really, it's everybody's responsibility.
100%. Everybody. And I think people are coming around to that a little bit more now, as I said, touched on earlier, with your personal life, you know, logging in online, shopping online, all your medical data's online. Everybody needs to be in it together to make sure that we do stay secure. It's not one person's responsibility. Cyber is everybody's responsibility, because ultimately, as an individual, you are a weak point if you don't do the correct things, or you're not managing your information properly. So that protection does kind of start with us as an individual. So everybody plays a part in it. There can always be a weakness somewhere through a person or through a system. So all of us together need to make sure that we've got an invested interest in this to make sure that we are improving things and are making them better ultimately.
Great. And we're going to move on now to just the final part. So I'm keen to talk a bit about your key messages. So, mm-hmm. you know, thank you very much for joining us. But, you know, before we do go, is there anything that I've missed that you think that we should talk about?
So I think in terms of actually us, as from my experience and sort of the Ministry of Defence, DE&S as a supplier to that, and all of our supply chain, I think the main thing to take away is, if somebody does come to you about cybersecurity, is to take it seriously. I know everybody is very, very busy in their day job. And quite often, you might have found yourself in terms of sort of security, cyber, information management, all those kind of elements of things, they can tend to fall to the bottom of the pile. Everybody is so keen on trying to deliver, you know, deliver the end product. And the thing that I do quite often hear is people saying, oh, well, it's all been fine up to now. And that's something that people say a lot. And we need to remember that actually there is always a first time, and we need to stop that first time happening. So just because something has always been fine up to now doesn't mean it will always be fine. So it's about thinking of what we can do. If people are coming out to you asking about your cybersecurity measures or trying to help you implement some on contracts, it's to remember it is for the benefit of the end delivery, because ultimately if there's a hack or something happens, that product isn't going to be delivered anyway because it could potentially be compromised. So I think the thing that we could do better is all remember that it's everybody's, basically everybody needs to have an invested interest in this, and also that we all need to work together to help and support each other to make sure that we do get to a good, secure position.
That's a great sort of leaving point to leave this on. So, you know, just to round off, we've spoken today about what supply chain is and what security looks like surrounding supply chains. We've spoken a bit about how bad it can get, and as well as that, your key messages. So, Sally, thanks so much again for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you ever so much for having me.
That was Sally, who leads the supply chain risk team within Defence Equipment and Support. Look out for more episodes in this series. You can find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find out more by emailing the team at cyberconfident@mod.gov.uk.